and welcome to the podcast The Lotus Eaters for the 21st of December 2021. I'm joined by Leo.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking today about British poems being legalised. They are finally legal. You can make as many poems as you like.
Ah, but poems are rubbish.
But you can also like the poems.
Them illegal again.
Without being visited by the police.
And please.
I don't know if you've been following the story of Harry Miller.
Yeah, I have. I spoke to him yesterday.
Oh, good. How is he?
So, yeah, he's obviously delighted. Right. But, it's a victory for common sense. More than anything else. He was actually apprehended by the police for retweeting a limerick.
We'll get into the whole story again.
Cool.
It's good to know he's feeling good, which he certainly should be. Also, British Sports Woke Senality of the Year, which I assume is people competing to be the absolute worst.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Or the best, if you read The Guardian.
Yeah. And also Dems turning on Biden, which was an interesting state of affairs, and also seems to mirror Boris Johnson's inner circle quite a lot.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting. Anyway, some things to mention first on the websites. The first thing here being an article by Hugo, What If COVID is the New Vietnam? In here talking about the dragging down of the United States. And you can see there a silver and gold tier audio track in case you are subscribed and don't like reading, which, fair enough. And if we go to the next one, we have a premium video. So this is my Why Feminist Immigration Policy Will Save the West speech I did, which was a bit of a joke.
Whoa, where did you get dressed up? That looks like an advert for Moss Bros.
I don't know what that is.
It's a suit shop.
All right, well,
don't pretend that you don't get your suits there. I mean, they
actually got them a slate.
Did they not have one in your size?
No, I think I got that one before I went to Germany, and then, you know, things changed and then... Anyway, so go and give that a watch. That's at the live event. This was the day before we did the one with you.
All right.
The one I did about the Germans, I believe, is out as well. So
right. Go
check that one out. But anyway, moving on. So the next thing to mention is an article from Thomas, The Accidental Anti-Wokeness of the Office. So this being the US office as well, which I've watched some clips now. So I'm getting there. Anyway, so go and check that out. I assume that has an audio track or might not, depending on whether or not it's free or premium. It does not, because that one's free, presumably. So go and check that out. And then the last thing to mention, which is getter.com. So follow us at lotuseaters_com, of course, for all the updates. But without further ado, I'm very happy today. I'm extremely happy.
Why are you happy, Callum?
British poems have been legalized. We can poem away once more. So for people who may not know what this story is, this goes back to Harry Miller. So here's the story in the BBC. Man complains of Orwellian police after tweet investigation. This was because a man wrote a limerick about trans women, and Harry hit like, and therefore was visited by the police.
Mm. I mean, that's terrifying.
It was a normal country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were visited, and the funny thing, of course, being that they didn't even say he'd committed a crime. He had committed a non-crime hate incident.
Yeah. And this is a serious thing. So there's we don't know exactly how many non-crime hate incidents have been recorded. Sorry if you're about to dig into this anyway, but basically, if you have a non-crime hate, if you're reported for a hate crime but you haven't committed a crime, you'd think that would be it. The police would just be like, no claim, no foul.
I'm here for crime. There is no crime. Bye-bye.
There's no crime, so we won't record it. But what they do is they record it as a non-crime hate incident. So it doesn't meet the threshold of being a crime because it's not a crime. They record it as a non-crime hate incident. There's hundreds of thousands of these being recorded in the UK, and they stay on your records. If a future employer does a DBS check or whatever, they'll flag up. And HR departments are so woke these days that obviously nobody's going to touch somebody with a non-crime hate incident on the record. So it's destroying people's careers.
So once you do that kind of check for certain jobs, then, well, if the individuals hiring don't like what you've done, maybe, because it can be very small things like liking a limerick.
Previously, if somebody, complained about a hate crime, would be a crime that then had some sort of racist or homophobic element to it. Or something, a malicious or sustained harassment, something like that.
A crime.
Not liking a tweet, what I mean?
I recall this. I cannot remember for the life of me where I remember it from, but I remember reading some examples were given by Metropolitan Police about non-crime hate instances. And one of the funniest ones was there was a man who complained that he was in Tesco's and he was handed a plastic bag in a homophobic manner. And that whoever that is against is on their record forever.
I mean, unless the person put it over his head to try and kill him. I mean, how could that be?
Yeah, I think it was just, he was like, oh God, I'll throw it over. And then he's like, a homophobe. Anyway, so this was the story, of course. And now we have the news that he's won. I just want to mention as well, of course, Harry has written and done a podcast with us before as well. So if you could scroll down on this, there's his article, which is free. So go give that a read if you haven't. And also the podcast he did talking about exactly this in case you want to get more details. But anyway, time for victory. Time for fun. So let's go to the BBC article in which Chad Wynn, Harry Miller's legal victory after alleged transphobic tweets. The alleged tweets of him saying that, I believe one of them is him saying, I'm trans species. I want you to refer to me as a dolphin now or something.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I was born a fish, but I'm whatever now.
Yeah, so, just making fun of our self-ID.
Which, I mean, there's no, you might think it's, people might think it's transphobic or mocking them. We're allowed to mock. Allowed to mock. It's not targeted harassment at a person.
Now, what's all this then? You used to be able to until the reforms of the police service, and now what?
I mean, huge ramifications for comedy and satire. Imagine if you're not allowed to mock it. We're not allowed to, make fun of the government. We're not allowed to make fun of anyone. We've all got to just sit in our little pods and toe the line. I'm not saying it's like North Korea. It is North Korea.
I am wondering how many non-crime hate instances you've got against your name. And we can find out. We can have a challenge. Who gets the most?
Yeah, anyway. Luckily, Lotus Eaters didn't do a DBS check before getting in.
Anyway, so some information out of here first. So this is the BBC is reporting on the situation. An ex-police officer has won a legal challenge against a national policy for forces to record gender-critical views as non-crime hate incidences. Speaking outside court, Mr. Miller from Lincolnshire said being offensive was one of the cornerstones of freedom. Being offensive is not, cannot, and should not be an offence, he said. Only when speech turns to malicious communications or targeted harassment against an individual should it be a problem. And there's one of the fantastic points about Harry being an ex-police officer as well, is he knows what should be a crime and what makes common sense.
Yeah.
And he has lived through the era of things changing and the culture changing. And, we get many, every time I go on a protest about something, we end up running into some ex-police officers who are like, yeah, I quit because it's just nuts now.
Yeah.
It's not a sensible place. Mm. And, I feel for him.
And there's such a focus has been taken away from volume crime, violent crime, and actual things that matter. And the attention's been switched to thought crime and hate crime.
I still can't go over the term hate crime. I mean, it's not in 1984, but I really wish it was.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds like it should.
I mean, the original idea that, a crime would be considered worse if it was motivated by, racism, homophobia, transphobia, whatever. I mean, that makes sense because, a fight between two people can be a fight. Somebody punching someone else can be a punch. But if they're motivated by racism, that's something to worry about a bit more. It's got that extra element of
I can see the argument.
Nastiness.
I don't necessarily agree. And I've always been in the stance that I think South Park is right on this, that it's a bit silly all round. But we're not going to get into that debate today.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many violent crimes that are motivated by love.
No, but also, I mean, if it's based on just nationalism, is that to be taken more seriously? Where do you draw the line? What kind of motive is worthwhile and what is not worthwhile of extra attention? Who's deciding that? Anyway, they did, and they decided that people who criticize transgender activists are worthy of more attention. However, now he's had the victory. And if we can see in here, Dame Victoria Sharp, one of England's most senior judges, said, "The net for non-crime hate speech is an exceptionally wide one, which is designed to capture speech which is perceived to be motivated by hostility, regardless of whether or not there is evidence that the speech was motivated by such hostility." Yeah. "The volume of non-crime hate instances is enormous, and the police do not have the resources or capacity to investigate all complaints that are made." So, I mean, some great points there. I'm just going to stop for a minute because first one there being that, it encompasses all speech you don't like.
Yeah.
So it can be used as a political weapon and has been
in
the case of Harry. And also just what a waste of time, which, yes. I mean, I don't know why that isn't a strong enough argument, but okay.
Mm. And also it represents a move in the law away from somebody's intention. So I think it's mens rea. You call it brother of Chris Rea, but so your mens rea, and it moves it to the perception of the victim, which is a separate thing, and it's much more sort of subjective and removed from what the person actually intended.
But also because there is no crime, it's entirely just a situation of what was that victim's
perception. So you've got a perception of a crime and then the perception of the intent. So both of those two things are completely subjective, and opens up a whole can of worms legally.
Anyway, so there is nothing in the guidance about excluding irrational complaints, for example, the judge says. So I love that. I mean, just someone could say that you handed me a bag in a homophobic manner and it does go on the books forever, including those where there is no evidence of hostility and little, if anything, to address the chilling effect which this may have had on legitimate exercise of freedom of expression. Fantastic. I mean, fantastic from the judge there, just correctly identifying the points. The police tried to argue in the court case that they did reform the definition of a non-crime hate incident to be more strict. They didn't do this willingly. They did this after everyone was pointing out they were taking the piss.
Yeah.
So they tried to argue that. The court heard the guidance had been revised with updates, including a strong warning against police taking disproportionate responses to reports of non-crime hate instances. However, Dame Victoria added, "In my opinion, the revisions do not go far enough, not nearly far enough, to address the chilling effect of perception-based recording more generally." So just absolute bunk. Get out of here, you losers. You're full of it. So great judge. I mean, Victoria there, doing fantastic. Anyway, so we'll go to Harry's response on this because, I mean, why not? I mean, you said you spoke to him yesterday. I don't know if you can say anything about how he was. I imagine ecstatic.
Yep.
So this is him writing here. "Letting every chief constable know that the police reign of terror is over. From now on, we are the ones who knock. We are the danger. At College of Policing, at CC Lee Freeman, oh, and also at City Police CB and at LGBT Police UK, you are next on our to-do list." Love it. I mean, everyone saw it in the podcast, and if you haven't, go and check it out with Harry. I love his character because you really messed with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Like, he is the kind of guy you think they're just prodding old ladies and getting convictions, and then you run into someone who's like, nope.
Yeah.
Also, now you've fucked me, I'm going to, and you, until I die.
Yeah.
I remember there was some, we mentioned the court case with like the police going out with a trans rights riot shield flag.
Yeah.
And so Harry's going in while suing them with two suffragette riot shields on his shields to make the point where it's like, well, come on, which one's a crime?
Yeah.
Anyway. And I love that he's going after the secret police, as he calls them, the LGBT Police UK group, which for people who don't know, apparently is not an official police force, has no affiliation with the police, except that it's a staff support network of police officers, and every piece of policing guidance revising around diversity and inclusion and whatnot is gone through them.
Mm.
So they've got none of the accountability, but all of the influence.
And this is we're seeing this with HR departments as well. So this is where wokeism and systemic wokeness and, you know, the legislation and the public sector really scares me, because with things like the hate crime bill, even though it's terrifying legislation, it's public, it's out for consultation, it gets passed through, like MPs review it, and then, you know, the House of Lords can review it and whatever.
There is a process there.
Yeah, there's due process. Whereas with the College of Policing, their guidance is guidance. So it's not subject to the same scrutiny as legislation is. And the same with the HR guidance. I mean, HR, I can't remember the name of the governing body for HR in the UK, but they've given out guidance that says, it's like talking about how facial expressions can be racist and things like that. And this stuff's so subjective.
Yeah,
so it's always just, you know, abused to, you know, to bully people. I mean, to bully the people who are being accused of, you know, being racist or whatever. Or, you know, for whatever Machiavellian. He's like Nicola Sturgeon, accused one of our rivals, Joanna Cherry, of being transphobic and got her removed from the front bench of the Scottish Parliament. So, you know, people abuse these tools. They aren't there to make everything better and make a rainbow
society.
Also
just workers' rights for a minute as well.
Yeah.
You know, sorry to get a bit leftist on everyone, but I remember we covered Ron DeSantis, who is passing the Stop Woke Act, which is making this criminal on that basis, which is that workers have rights, and they, one of those rights is to not be indoctrinated every day in some weird ideology.
Yeah.
And, well, the LGBT police network doing that to police constables is another example of that. Well, no, they're human beings. They have rights to not be indoctrinated into ideologies.
Yeah.
And the state doing that to them is just wrong. Mm. Anyway, so we'll go to the Free Speech Union, who I am going to big up. I'm a member, as I've said before, and also I support, so I recommend people join them, especially if your free speech in the UK is on the threat.
I was supposed to be headlining their comedy night last week, but I couldn't because I had Omicron.
Free speech dead by Omicron. Yeah. Anyway, so I wanted to read their response in full because I think it's great as well. The Free Speech Union welcomes today's landmark judgment on the Court of Appeal that the recording of non-crime hate instances is an unlawful interference with freedom of expression. As the court says, the knowledge that such matters are being recorded and stored in a police database is likely to have a chilling effect on public debate. Mm. Fantastic. And this is also the point they're getting at here, which is apparently non-crime hate instances, if recorded by the police from this court case on, is illegal.
Yeah.
Is unlawful. And therefore, the police are presumably going to be fined or disciplined if they carry on doing it. And they're going back to rework their guidance is apparently the thing, but we'll mention that.
And it's a huge waste of the police's time as well. They make that point. Because, I mean, if you...
Depends on your goals, doesn't it?
I think the police should be there to prevent actual crime that really happens. Like, somebody broke into my car, stole all my camera gear. It's like $2,500. Yeah. Police did nothing. They gave me a crime number. It was I couldn't believe how little they did. No follow-up call, no, like, they didn't send anybody to take fingerprints or anything, which was quite an optimistic, you know, thought of mine that they might, like, send somebody to actually try and solve the crime. But they didn't. If somebody misgenders someone, or, you know, if there's a street missing a rainbow crossing, they're there with the blues and twos.
I mean, so, but that's why I say it depends on your goals, because you have this outdated concept that police should primarily be focused with crime. Of course, that is now a secondary goal. Mm. If we can, we can focus with crime. Social engineering, being a political force to enforce, well, in this case, intersectional policies upon the public. So they continue the Free Speech Union. Not only does the recording of non-crime hate instances violate Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights, as the court says, it is a huge waste of police time. Just going to stop there. Article 10, for people who don't know, that is based on the UN's Declaration of Human Rights?
Yeah.
And for people who don't know the story here, the UN came up with this, and they proposed it, and the version they had was based on the Americans' First Amendment. Mm. The Soviet delegation started, like, autistically hitting the table, being like, we can't have that, because, well, then free speech.
And, yeah, we'll have to let all these people out, the gulags.
Yeah, we're the Soviet Union. So they redrafted it so that if the speech was offensive to public morals, public health, and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
there is no free speech.
So that's the bit that covers, funnily enough, the COVID lockdown restrictions. Yes. Because that's public health.
And so that ended up becoming the final version of the UN Declaration of Human Rights. That Article 10 in the EU one is copied off. So this was so bad that even the Soviet Union's mangled version of UN declarations was violated.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyway, so between 2014 and 2019, 34 police forces in England and Wales recorded a total of 119,134 non-crime hate instances, an average of 65 a day. What possible justification can there be for investigation and recording of non-crimes when so many crimes go unsolved?
Yeah.
Between 2015 and 2021, 964,000 domestic burglary investigations ended without a suspect being identified.
Yeah.
I believe the solve rate for burglaries in this country hovers around like 7%.
Oh, the sanction detection rate for volume crime in this country is pretty awful.
Yeah. I mean, you having much better knowledge than me on these sort of things.
I used to be one of the people who's doing a terrible job trying to solve it. So,
but yeah, it's an absolute S show. Do you want to solve one thing? If the Conservatives wanted to reform one thing in this country, this would be it. And they had to make Harry Miller do it instead.
And the mad thing is, I mean, this, like, it's not going to be a vote winner for the Tories. I don't understand why they're thinking, oh, I know what will play really well in the home counties. I know what they're looking for in the red wall. They want people arrested for non-crime hate incidents. I just don't understand this. There should be so much political pressure from the Tories, who traditionally have been the party of freedom and liberty, to stop this stuff and to make the... And they're supposed to be the party of law and order, like actual law and order, and lowering real actual crime.
If you want a specific definition, in the last election, Labour had free speech mentioned a total of 0 times in the manifesto. The Tories had it mentioned twice, once to defend it on college campuses, universities, and the second one to be to defend it in the public realm. This is a perfect example. They didn't do it. Ended up Harry Miller having to do it, which is an embarrassment for them.
Yeah.
Toby Young, the Free Speech Union's General Secretary, said, the Free Speech Union is proud to have played a part in winning this landmark victory, but the lion's share of credit must go to Harry Miller. Mm. Thanks to his courage and tenacity, we can all rest a little easier in our beds tonight, knowing the police are not about to knock on our doors because we made an inappropriate joke on Twitter. They should be policing our streets, not our tweets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah,
yeah, he's the Marcus Rashford of free speech.
What, Harry Miller?
Yeah. And the great thing is,
there's a knighthood.
Free school dinners, they come out of our taxes. Free speech costs nothing.
Yeah. And defending it actually saves us money.
Yeah.
Because we're not wasting it.
Yeah.
Instead. So anyway, if we go to the last link on here, one of the last ones, the Judicial Office has their full review in here in case you want to go read the full judgment. Some people sometimes do. There was one thing in here, I didn't get to read all of it, but in the summation, there was one worry of mine, which is the judge ruled it was unlawful, but the College of Policing could go back, revise their rules and their guidance, and then it could be used again in a reformed way. And it was like, but you've just said this whole process cannot be made lawful. So don't know what's going to happen there, but hopefully nothing, because as pointed out, the whole thing's a joke. Anyway, we'll go on to the next one, which is just a minor celebration. As we can see here, Julie Birchall celebrating. I got what I wanted for Christmas, hard cheese, cry bullies, and congratulations to my hero, Harry Miller, at Fair Cop. So again, you can't help but smile for the guy and everyone involved. I mean, proper hero.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's an absolute principled man and exactly the sort of person. I wish he was still a policeman. I wish he was, you know, in charge.
That's the kind of advice you want,
Yeah. Instead of some wokist who's just toeing the line and trying to, you know, doing whatever PR agencies tell him to do. This is exactly what we need.
But anyway, I thought I'd end this by, just in case they do come back with some more reformed guidance on what a non-crime hate incident is, by trying to get one. So let's do it. So I thought I'd also end this on a fact, because of course this is all about poetry, and poetry that mocked intersectionality. So I thought I'd just mention here a Wikipedia article, which anyone can go check in their own time, list of killing ordered or supported by Muhammad.
Where the hell is this going? I'm just slowly creeping up the
shot. It's just a mention of, well, the Islamists will be proud of this, so don't worry, which is just a list of the killings ordered by the Prophet Muhammad. And in here, he mentions, for example, to kill Osama bint Ma'ad for opposing Muhammad with poetry and for provoking others to attack him, and also kill the Jewish poet Abu Afak for opposing Muhammad through poetry.
And wait, and this is actual, the original Muhammad said this?
Yeah. Problem.
Really?
Like, the warlord himself.
How do people know?
Well, this is the thing. Like, the article's there. It's not just these ones who mocked him through poetry, of course. There are plenty of others. But the ones mocking him through poetry are obviously the most pathetic and also relate to our story.
Right.
That, well, Harry mocked intersectionality through poetry, specifically by hitting like. And he had a knock on the door. If he had got any further, oh boy, God knows what would have happened to him. Probably a prison sentence. Anyway, but let's end that there.
Hmm. Well, that's fascinating. I didn't know that about Muhammad. So, Muhammad, because is he more recent than Jesus?
Yeah, so he's 600s or whatever it is.
Right. So there was paper.
Yeah, he's a real guy.
And like, there was probably MySpace?
I don't know. There are some people with his name on there.
But there's paper. So there's more of his sort of teachings and learnings are recorded than for Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's a bit awkward because it was mostly an oral tradition. This is getting off topic anyway. But
right, yeah.
And they all sat down after Muhammad died and were like, hang on, we should probably write this down.
Right.
And then they all said what they knew and what he has said. And then they conflated what they definitely knew into the Quran. And then the sayings are listed by whether or not it's absolutely true. We're not really too sure. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
So
cool.
That's how
I didn't know that.
The texts are there. But anyway, you can go see how many people he killed personally. I mean,
Muhammad killed people.
Yeah. I mean, never mind his followers. I mean, him himself saying, kill that guy. Why? Because he mocked me.
Like, really?
Okay.
Oh my God. Because Jesus is all like, turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's quite chill.
And Muhammad's just like, I'm building a kingdom. You want to join?
Right. Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so my section is, so we had the British Sports Personality of the Year 2021 results on Sunday, which is an oxymoron, like sports people don't have any personality, they're dead boring. As is sport, sport is all boring as well, unless it's based on fighting. So yeah, somebody agreeing over there.
To be honest, I agree as well. I mean, it's the only sport I could probably watch that is good fun.
Yeah, totally. And if you're watching tennis or whatever and a fight breaks out in the stand, everybody turns and watches the fight. Whereas if you're at a boxing match and people start playing badminton in the corner, nobody turns and watches the badminton. And you know why that is? Because sport is inherently dull and fighting is interesting. So, and also sport, all this stuff, we'll get onto it anyway. But anyway,
the walk of you is just like, yeah, I want to fight.
Yeah, so we had the British Sports Personality of the Year. It was Emma Raducanu. She's great. She was the first British woman to win a tennis Grand Slam in 44 years, apparently, which is quite an achievement, although it should be put in the context of she was playing women. So that makes it easier. If she was playing men, she might not have won. But yeah, first, she went from nothing. She was like, I think she was a wild card entry to the US Open, and she won it. So well done, Emma. And she's like 19 years old, and she's like, I think she's Romanian and
Chinese.
Chinese? She's a nice advert-friendly mix of ethnicities, and she seems like a very nice person. So yeah, good for her. Well done. But I don't care about the sports personality of the year. It should have been Tyson Fury. He's the only one with a personality. So I've got the British sports wokesinality of the year. This is the most woke British sports people. So we move on.
This is a show you've made up on your own.
I made this up myself.
Oh, neat.
So the number one is Lewis Hamilton. So this is all
strong
the stuff
contender.
That Lewis Hamilton's done. So he's been done for speeding at 122 miles an hour in France. and for doing a burnout in Australia. I mean, I know you think that might not be so bad, but what if he ran someone over and they turned out to be a minority or transgender? Then that would be bad. Also, the next tab. So you can see this is... this is him.
What?
Try to play the race card. So we can play that. I think that's on mute, but you can play this.
He's stupid.
Why do you think you're so magnetic to the stewards? Why do you think that it's... You obviously feel that you're being targeted.
Maybe it's because I'm black. That's what Ali G says. I don't know.
So he said, he later said he was trying to be funny by claiming that, you know, the stewards target him because he's black. But if he was trying to be funny, wouldn't it be funnier? I don't know. Also, I like the way he's styled his beard in a little chin strap. Yeah. That's not actually holding his cap on.
Is he making the joke that they think he hasn't bought the car or something? I don't.
No, the stewards were giving him lots of whatever boring nerd stuff they've got in this car racing thing.
I would believe that was a joke, except I also saw his new outfit that he's wearing. I don't know if you've seen his like, he's got the racial pride flag like put into the helmet.
Oh yeah, no, he's gone. He's full on. We'll see it in a moment. So yeah, but he's trying to give his chin more definition there. That's why he's got that chin strap. So yeah, the next tab. Now he's gone full woke. So you can see him here. He's like taking the knee. He's got like the Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. If you scroll down a bit more, he's doing like the Black Power salute. He's full woke. He demands statues of slavers are torn down. So you'd think he'd hate slavery, but unfortunately it seems he only hates slavery that happened 400 years ago. As he's completely happy to race.
Did he send any money to Libya to free the slaves?
No. And you know what? There's more slavery now than at any time in human history. More slavery now than at the peak of the transatlantic slave trade. And slaves are treated horrifically because, I mean, during the transatlantic slave trade, slaves actually had, you know, huge value. Whereas now, it's, you know...
the price of slaves has gone down too much.
It has.
It's a weird
has.
Complaint, but okay.
No, it is. I mean, it's weird. If you're going to look at the basket of inflation, like slaves
should be part of the basket.
Slaves and plasma televisions have come right down.
Bread,
and,
milk, slaves. You know,
yeah,
the essentials.
House prices have shot up at the same time. But yeah, it's. I mean, it's. We're joking about it, but it's disgusting. There's there's all this slavery that happens in the Middle East. So
have you seen the auctions? Like the secret footage of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not secret. You can watch it. But yeah, Libya, they've got open slave markets. But obviously wokists don't care about it because it's not being done by white people. And it's only white people who are allowed to be bad. But yeah, Lewis Hamilton, happy to race in Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia. These are countries with horrific human rights records. Here he is wearing a, what's it called? The thing that on top, it's called like a Kobe or something like that.
For people listening, he's wearing a very traditional Arab dress, shall we say, with the full...
When we say traditional, I mean, it could be Sid James in a Carry On movie. This is what we're taught. This is full-on Benny Hill movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking Yes Minister. Humphrey's dressed in it.
This is like the easiest fancy dress costume you had when it was 1984 and you're allowed to. But yeah, so he's gone to Bahrain. He's still wearing the chains, which signify all the slavery stuff. But Bahrain is a huge problem with slavery. 1.9 people in every 1,000 in Bahrain are slaves.
Did he give a speech about this?
He didn't. He said he loved Bahrain and he loved the culture, which
really?
I assume includes keeping slaves.
I love the culture of slavery. Do you
So there's an estimated 30,000 slaves in Bahrain. It's a tiny country. There's only like, I think, 1.5 million people. And it's a hub for human trafficking as well. So it's got lots of money, very poor human rights oversight, so lots of slavery. And if we move on to the next tab, its hypocrisy gets even worse. So he took money from Kingspan, the company that made the cladding that went on the Grenfell Tower that burnt all those people. I think 77 people died in the Grenfell Tower disaster. I mean, there's some doubt over how many people died because so many of them were subletting. So, you know, they don't have the correct records. But yeah, so his car had the Grenfell, had this company that made this cladding on the side of the car. And he could have advertised. He could have stuck, you know, the Grenfell Tower on the side and shown the victims that he cared about them, and he was still, you know, he wanted them to get justice soon. But instead, him and his team wanted the money from Kingspan, so they put this. And then when they apologized, they basically reprinted the Kingspan press release. They said, they said all this stuff. Oh, Kingspan, you know, weren't told that it was going to be used in this way, and it was only a small part of their product, and all this sort of stuff. And actually, that's bollocks. They should have at least researched and seen if Kingspan were telling the truth.
Take another company.
Or just take another company. I'm sure somebody else could. You know, maybe a company that doesn't burn people to death would want to advertise on your car. So it's hugely offensive to victims of the Grenfell Tower disaster. Also hugely offensive to Formula One racers who used to burn to death in their cars back when Formula One was interesting, because there was a bit of jeopardy. Now you might as well just get some marbles in a hose and roll them down, because they'll come out in the same order. It's just boring now. I miss the days when they used to when you see the tire flying into the stand, just take out a family. Oh my God. That was entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, wholesome entertainment for all the family.
We only had, we only had four channels on the TV, but oh my God. Like when you watched it, it's amazing. It's amazing. Senna days, that's right. That is right, John. Ayrton Senna, I think he crashed, didn't he? He was one of the last people who crashed. There's been like two crashes in Formula One in the last like 20 years. It's ridiculous. They need to sort it out.
You're disappointed. We need more.
So. Yeah, we need more. They should.
My manifesto promises: elect me, and I'll have more crashes in Formula One.
Yeah.
I'd vote for it.
Maybe give them weapons or something. And if we move on, that's not the only hypocrisy he's done. So it's all like, Ocean's of Forest are being destroyed. But if you scroll down, he's actually, has he got a picture? Oh yeah, up. So here he is. He's done this tweet about the oceans are being destroyed. He's on a speedboat. He's talking about the environment. He's on a speedboat. Well, do you know how bad speedboats are for the environment?
It's an incredibly important use of that speedboat and the petrol in it, which is to take his dog for a ride there.
That's like me saying, oh, the water quality in the Thames is bad. And I'm literally tweeting myself doing a shit in the Thames. Like, this is just, it's the most blatant hypocrisy. Like speedboats, so he's burning. They're so inefficient. I mean, it's completely unnecessary as well. It's purely for leisure.
That dog's having a good time.
But they burn so much petrol, and you know, if you're using petrol, that means you're getting the petrol out of the ground. You're paying these oil companies to get it out of the ground, transport it across the ocean, and then the ships hit an iceberg or whatever and have the oil spill, which is bad for the ocean, which he's then complaining about. He's also causing noise pollution that disturbs whales.
Where is he?
He's burning oil, so that's contributing to climate change. Sea levels are rising.
I'm just gonna say that doesn't really look like the UK to me.
No, he's somewhere nice and sunny. Do you think he'd be wearing a t-shirt in a speedboat if it was in the UK? That looks somewhere in Monaco or somewhere. Yeah,
nice little tax haven.
Yeah, tax haven, which I'm not sure what Lewis Hamilton's financial affairs are, but all the other sports stars in this list dodged their taxes. So number two is Marcus Rashford. So he campaigns for poverty. Campaigns to end poverty, not pro-poverty. I campaign for poverty. But I think there's only a certain number of pies in the world, and there's not enough for everybody. So you've got to stop people getting access to those pies. But yeah, he's bought all these luxury homes, and people said the Daily Mail was giving him a hard time. I thought this was quite a celebratory article, saying, what a result! He's the campaigning football star Marcus Rashford has bought 5 luxury homes worth more than £2 million. And what I want to know is, like, you know, all the people came out. He himself defended it he was investing in his future and his family's future. And it's like, well, that's great, but that is literally the motivation of every evil right-wing Tory landlord that The Guardian hates. So why is Marcus Rashford or Patrice Couleurs from Black Lives Matter, why are they celebrated for, you know, becoming rentier capitalist landlords?
I mean, yes. And it's not very communist of you, comrade, to be a landlord.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's great that he does. It's great to see, you know, a young person investing for the future instead of blowing their money on something stupid. But why is he celebrated for it when other people, normally the Guardian readers are like, oh, evil landlords, eat the rich, we should have caps on rent and all this sort of stuff. But for Marcus Rashford, it's great. And so next tab, Patrice Couleurs did the same thing with money she made from Black Lives Matter. Isn't that insane? Like, so people give money to this Marxist organization and it goes to, I mean, I guess it's like every Marxist in history.
I mean, to be fair, we should be quite pleased. I mean, more landlords in the world, therefore, you know, technically less communism, I suppose. Yeah. Or at least when but they, if the communists do take over, they'll be killing their own. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, people are communists. Communists are communists until they get some money.
Yes.
And then they suddenly become hardcore Tories.
I'm a libertarian,
it's
don't
great
you
know? To see. It's great to see, you know, the people's principles are completely soluble in money. And the next tab we can see, so Marcus Rashford has been campaigning for free school meals, and he really did. I mean, I thought it was great. You know, fair enough. You know, he was acting as the government's de facto opposition, that Labour were doing nothing, but he actually forced political change and he forced the government to provide these free school meals. Which, even though I'm a bit of a dick and you know a joke about you know wanting people in poverty, I think it'll reduce the number of problems we have in the future if you know students, kids. Eat enough food, can get an education, all the rest of it.
I probably should mention the counter-argument, because I imagine some people will be in the comments without anyway, which is just, of course, there's the principal debate about whether or not it's the parents' responsibility to feed children or the state's responsibility.
Well, this is the thing.
Like, there are good arguments on both sides.
This is the thing. I thought it was really unfair that everybody's like, oh, the people are starving under the government. It's like the government's job isn't... The government's not there to wipe your arse. Mm. The government's there to like do as little as possible and get out of your way so that you know you can make a life for yourself. And to be honest... I don't, man, there's some useless parents out there. If you can't make a living under, you know, in the UK, under free market democracy, you know, it's pretty easy. It's so easy to get a job.
Yeah.
It's so easy. All you need to do is like work hard and not take lots of drugs.
The counter argument, obviously, being that you get those parents and therefore it's not the kids' fault. So we'll just step in and do it. That's not rehashed.
So I don't think Marcus Rashford should be campaigning for the government to feed the parents. They can maybe take some of their heroin money and spend it on chips. But yeah, if we move on to the next thing, like fair enough, he did that. But maybe the government would have more tax to spend on free school dinners. Maybe it would have already paid for the free school dinners if all these sports stars didn't dodge their tax. If all these wokists who say, oh, the government should do this, the government should do that, actually paid the money to the government as they should. So Marcus Rashford, he's got this, basically if you're super rich, you can get accountants to set up, you know, companies for you. And then you can pay yourself. I've got friends who work as contractors or whatever who do this, and they pay themselves dividends or whatever it is. Yep. The way Marcus Rashford has done it is, so he gave himself a salary of just under £5,000. So that's obviously not the money he's spending for the year. He gave himself a £950,000 director's loan. Now, what this means is he doesn't need to pay tax on the loan because it's a loan. But also, he owns the company that's loaned himself the money, so he doesn't need to pay the loan back because it's paying it back to himself. So this is a really kind of quite a devious and nasty way of avoiding paying tax, and I think it's a loophole that the government should be closing, but until also, I get rich enough to use it myself.
If he's also obsessed with the idea that, well, we should be providing food to the needy, well, just donate that money to a food shelter.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
And he's saying... the government should do it. So basically saying the government should tax us, should tax me and you and all the other people out there who don't have the resources to set up these tax avoidance mechanisms. So he's looking good by saying, oh, the government should provide these free school meals. We're the ones that are paying for it.
He's the one saying, you should pay for this. By the way, I'm keeping my money.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely. You're richer than us. You can give it away if you need to.
Yeah. So, I mean... I don't know. I think there's a lot to like about Marcus Rashford. I love how he invests for the future, and you know he's sensible, he's politically aware and stuff. But I think this is just
sensible
such...
tax planning. I mean, this what's is, not to love?
Yeah,
like...
yeah. I mean, yeah, I've got no sort of problem with this. If he, you know, if it chimed with his, you know, his the principles he presents to everyone, this is just tax avoidance, and it's bad if you're going to be a woke. A wokester claiming that everybody else should be paying for it. So number three is Gary Lineker. So Gary Lineker is also super rich. He's got a net worth of £30 million. He makes £1.75 million a year from the BBC. I think he's actually negotiated it. It's been negotiated down, so it's £1.35 million now. And he makes about £1.5 million a year from his deal with Walker's Crisps, and then there's all the other things that he does as well. So he makes loads of money. And if we move on to the next tab, he was actually asked, if you scroll down, he was asked about the Crisps sponsorship, because this is the thing, man. He's like advertising Crisps, and Crisps are bad for you. And he's a sports star, so he's associating, you know, health and athletic prowess with Crisps, and Crisps aren't healthy. And we've got a rocketing problem with obesity in this country. So you'd think a sports star should be trying to get people to eat oats or fresh fruit or something like that. He's not. And he says, if you scroll down, you can see, where is it? When asked about the crisp sponsorship and sport in a GQ interview, Gary said, crisps are fine, they do no harm at all. Actually, they're very high fat, very high in sodium, they've got no nutritional benefit whatsoever, so they are bad. And the UK has got hundreds of thousands of people suffering from chronic obesity, partly as a result of sitting on their couch watching Match of the Day and eating Walker's crisps. They've got chronic illnesses, early deaths, also they look terrible on the beach, and then I've got to look at them, and I don't want that. So it's extremely cynical of him to be.
I really wish politicians justified
crisps.
Their policies by just being like, I just don't want fat people around. Oh, for their health.
Yeah.
I just don't want to look at them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got to like remember. I mean, if we're going to have. If we talk about the perception of a crime, perception of speech and stuff, what about the perception of me looking at some fat biff on the beach?
It's like, a hate crime against my vision.
It is. Nobody wants to look at that.
It's an offence on the eyes.
So yeah, I just think it's really bad for it's like, you know, advertising cigarettes in the 60s before, you know, doctors. I mean, people knew that cigarettes were bad for you back then, but they were still got sports stars advertising Marlboros and stuff and saying, oh no, they're healthy. It's like, well, they're not. They're killing loads of people. So Gary Lineker is implicated in the deaths of tens of thousands of people from obesity. So what else has he done? He's been tweeting at the government to treat asylum seekers better, and he actually opened up his house to take in a refugee.
Did he though?
Yeah, he did.
He did actually do it.
Well, apparently that's what it says in the papers. That's what he says.
Any evidence?
He said he did. There's a I read a thank you letter from the refugee. So unless he wrote it himself with his left hand, I think he did do it. But it was just for 3 weeks. So I mean, it's not a huge amount of time. But
how many houses does he have?
Well, he's probably got quite a few houses because
one refugee,
find out,
3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's my bit done. I'm off.
But still, I mean, it brings the total number of refugees housed by woke people up to a grand total of one. So, I mean, at least he's done a little bit of his.
I mean, Nicola Sturgeon said she'd take a refugee, never did.
Oh,
so,
God. I mean, haven't they suffered enough already? I mean, jeez, I'd want to go back to Syria. I'd be like, come on, take me, Assad. Take me. I'll eat your mustard gas. So yeah, next tab, he's also given a bunch of money to charity, but is it his money? He's avoided paying £4.9 million of tax because he's also got some sort of like weird tax avoidance thing where he says he's not an employee of the BBC. So, he says because he's not an employee, he shouldn't be taxed as an employee. He's like
Gary Lineker Limited is getting paid.
Exactly. And then he can pay himself with whatever.
Gary Lineker,
you know,
was never
dodgy
paid, only Gary
stuff.
Lineker Limited.
Yeah. So people do this a lot. Rich people do this a lot. It's happened with other people. Who's the other one? I can't remember.
I'm going to speak in his defense though. Kind of based. Like,
I'm
not a fan of paying
the
tax.
Thing with these people, if they're then criticising the government for not spending enough money,
sure,
and then they're not giving the government enough money.
But you said he donated the money that he was meant to give to government.
Oh,
right?
No. He's given like, you know, few hundred grand to charity or whatever. And also, man, I don't think people if we just relied on charity to do everything that the government should be doing, like providing, like before the NHS, so healthcare was provided by charity. But look what people give to charity. Like if we had charities doing it instead of the government, we'd have like donkey sanctuaries would be the best hospitals in the country. You know what I mean? Like stray dog sanctuaries, they'd be like, and then you'd have a hospital for like, you know, people with actual illnesses, and they'd be getting no money because people like donkeys more than people. But yeah, he actually used, so all his political tweets where he tweets the government and complains and harangues them to spend more money or let refugees in or whatever, he said that means that shows that he's not an employee, because an employee wouldn't be able to act as a political activist. So all his virtue signalling, woke, lefty tweets are actually part of his tax avoidance. And notice I said avoidance, not evasion, because evasion's illegal. Avoidance. He's avoided. He's... avoidance.
Can we make that any more clear?
Tax avoidance. So
that actually puts a new light on it.
It's interesting, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, it's almost like it's a calculated thing to not only boost his profile so he gets all those advertising campaigns and all these hosting. He hosted the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. So he gets all that stuff, but also he then doesn't have to pay tax because he's like, look, I'm not an employee. Because
Hang on, wait. So that means the refugee took for 3 weeks and one home. It's a part of his tax avoidance.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wonder if a woke person will ever do something genuinely out of the goodness of their heart.
I'm not even mad. I'm in awe.
Yeah. He's like Kaiser Soze at the end of Usual Suspects. It's amazing. So, yeah, Gary Lineker. I've got to say, yeah, I'm pretty impressed with that. But you're definitely a hypocrite. Hmm. Number four is Azeem Rafiq. So he's the guy, he's a Yorkshire cricketer who blew the whistle on racist bullying. And he did, I mean, it sounded horrific. It was sustained, like loads of people were on it. It was like, you know, it was brutal, racist bullying. If you look at the, and he had beer poured over him, which, you know, he's a Muslim, so it's alcohol, so that's bad. If you look at the next slide, then in the fallout, it turned out that he had also indulged in a bit of the old racism himself. So he sent anti-Semitic messages.
Oh, of course it's Jews. Of course it's Jews. How could I guess?
I mean, in fairness to him, his messages, you know, it's private messages to another player, so it's not a sustained campaign of bullying. It's not open. So I've got, you know, it's definitely on a different level, but it's still anti-Semitism. And also, it's got to be seen in the context of anti-Semitism has been soaring in the UK, partly because woke people tolerate it and they think it's good. Woke people tolerate it. Woke people usually cause it. If you look at, you know, Jeremy Corbyn, all the leftists, Jeremy Corbyn's aide was just recently sued by Rachel Riley, and Rachel Riley won. So Jeremy Corbyn's former aide is now, I don't know how many,
10 grand,
but plus there'll be legal costs as well. So, I mean, that'll be the entire, even if every left-wing person in the country gets their savings together, they won't be able to cover that.
Well, I do want to mention the statistics on this because I happen to know them, which is that Jewish hate crimes against Jews in this country, Jews are overrepresented by, I think, 300% or something like that, yeah, and Muslims are underrepresented as a proportion of the population.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, people, for some reason, people see Muslims as a minority and Jews as not a minority, when in fact there's a tiny number of Jews, not just in the UK, but worldwide. We're talking like tens of millions, whereas there's 2.9 billion Muslims, and, you know, there's vastly more.
The fastest growing religion, anyway.
Yeah, vastly more Muslims in the UK than there are Jews. And you saw the horrific, you know, I know it was instigated by the attacks and counterattacks between Israel and Gaza. But there's horrific, like, open abuse, cars driving through Jewish neighborhoods shouting slurs at people.
Oh, that was in London. That wasn't in Gaza.
Yeah, that was in London, and that's what we're seeing in this country. I know Jewish friends who don't feel comfortable in the UK anymore, feel comfortable in London anymore, and they're talking about moving to Israel, where they'll feel safer because they will be. So Azeem Rafiq, you know, anti-Semitism, you know, can't be. It's serious as well. And it was also revealed in the next tab that he'd sent creepy and vulgar messages to a teenage girl. So he met this 16-year-old girl on a plane. She said she was 17. And he drank vodka with her. And then he messaged her. He got her number and he was messaging her afterwards. And he said, "You know what I wanted to do on the plane? I want to grab you, push you up against wall and kiss you." Ridiculous.
Push you up against wall.
What, one of those curved walls in a plane?
Hang on, but just the English there for a minute.
I mean, it's text message. I mean, it doesn't sound like the
but
sharpest
still,
tool.
Do you know the Panjeet meme where it's like, show Bobson for Jean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it comes off to me. Anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's lucky he's good at chucking a cricket ball at people because he's not very good at poetry. But he then said, so she said, "Do you realize I'm only 17? She texted back. Maybe she was 17 by this point. This was after they'd met on the plane. He replied to her, "Does that mean it not allowed to want to kiss me? And would you have let me kiss you?" So surprisingly, that didn't get him his hole. I mean, it's not exactly the worst thing a Muslim man's done to a teenage girl in the north of England.
No, but it is also illegal in this country because 16 is the age of consent, so at least it's above there.
Oh, right, so, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Minimal points, but
what about the alcohol, though?
The alcohol? Well, it's not very Islamic of him, no.
Yeah, it's not very, and also the age for drinking alcohol is 18. So he drank vodka with her on the plane.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
And also, like, you know, part of his thing about the racist bullying was, "Oh, they poured beer on me." And Well, you're drinking vodka, so...
That's not un-Islamic either. Like, if I remember correctly, you're not meant to get intoxicated, is the phrase.
Oh, really?
The prophet used. So you're not meant to get drunk.
Right.
It's not, you can't be around a pint.
Right.
Be in the room with a pint. I don't know what he's talking about.
Right. Does it extend to other drugs? Because, some of my Muslim friends, they won't drink, but they'll do other drugs.
It does extend to drugs. Right. The only exceptions are, of course, medical or you didn't know.
Right.
That's why orange juice is technically allowed, even though it's got a small amount of alcohol, because you can't get intoxicated off it.
Right. Anyway. Cool. I didn't know orange juice had alcohol in it.
Next Quranic verses with Callum? I don't know, next week.
Next one. And then number five on my list of the wokest British sports stars is the New Zealand transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard.
The last candidate.
Yeah, the last candidate. So she competed as a mediocre male athlete up until her 30s and then transitioned and became an award-winning female athlete. So, I mean, we're seeing this. Female sports is becoming a retirement community for terrible male athletes. And I mean, if you scroll down, if you look at the picture of her, I mean, what a beautiful lady! Oh my! Hey, little... lady.
I love your description.
Do you want a vodka on the plane? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I totally believe that, you know, transgender women should be treated as women. They are, well, the hot ones are women. And but Laurel Hubbard, I mean, come on.
Not
you literally
enough.
Look like Oliver Hardy. Just right. He shaved his like little mustache off. Like, that is, I don't know. I just think that's ridiculous. It just makes a mockery of the whole thing, and it actually draws attention and draws transphobic transphobic ire towards the transgender community, who mostly just want to get on with their lives and not be associated with like a biological male coming in and dominating female sports. Because going through male puberty gives athletes certain advantages. So, you know, you get greater bone density, bigger skeleton, stronger muscle mass. It's easier to parallel park outside the stadium. Heyo! Little joke there.
She can break records in the female sports now.
Yeah, she lost in the Olympics. She didn't win. If you look at the next tab, but I've got a joke about Laurel Hubbard.
Is it Laurel Hubbard?
There she is. I mean, wow, what a lady! I mean, fucking hell. I know I shouldn't swear, but like, come on.
Fair.
But yeah, I've got a joke about Laurel Hubbard. I don't know where she got her gender reassignment surgery done, but apparently she's got a 135 kilogram snatch.
Yeah.
It's a great joke.
Weightlifting jokes.
Yeah. Anyway. And yeah, so that's it from... and also, I know she's not British, but she can just identify as British. And yeah, so Gary Lineker wins because he dodged the most tax. But the only sports... player, sports star at the moment who's actually got a personality is Tyson Fury, as he says himself. So he threatened to sue the BBC because he got nominated for Sports Personality of the Year, and he's the only guy with a personality. He gets a lot of stick from wokists who, you know, criticize him for his opinions because he's quite a religious guy. He's like
Didn't he give up a load of his money recently?
Did he what?
Did he give up a load of his money recently?
Yeah, he donates a lot to charity, and it's actually his money, not money he's dodged paying tax on with the government. But he gets criticised for being for having poor opinions on homosexuality, and you know, because he reads the Bible, and it all comes from the Bible.
Person.
He's very, very Christian, not a reformed Christian, but you know, quite sort of old school, and so he gets criticised for that. But like in his defence. He spends all his time getting really good at punching people in the face, and he's the best in the world at that. He doesn't spend as much time making sure his opinions match with the latest, you know, full-on like gender studies. So you've got these gender studies graduates who are like, "Oh my god, his opinions on gender are so terrible." It's like, yeah, but you're terrible at boxing.
You couldn't punch for toffee.
Yeah, you can punch toffee. So why can't we criticize you for being bad at boxing? So I think a way to solve it would be. Tyson Fury and these gender studies graduates get in the ring, and first they have an opinion off, and we can see who's got the best opinions, and then they can see who's the best at punching people in the face.
First man to die loses.
Yeah. Death match. We need more death matches in sports these days. Yeah, I don't know. I grew up in a time when sports stars were just all incredibly dull, like Nigel Mansell, Steve Davies, Alan Shearer, Michael Owen, just the dullest of the dull.
No idea who any of those are.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, because you're about 12. But yeah.
Anyway, but we'll end it off because we're running out of time with the Dems are finally turning on Biden to some extent, which is hopefully the beginning of a larger series of events. But you can see here, so Fox News reporting this, so you can forgive it being Fox first, but we'll get back to someone else who confirms it as well, in case you're autistic about Fox. House Dems blame Biden White House for not holding anyone accountable for multiple crises started with Afghanistan. And as they say in here, so Manchin, the guy who stopped the Build Back Better bill from going through, he's attacking Biden, obviously. And then a House Democrat blamed Biden's White House for not holding anyone accountable for the multiple crises plaguing America, stating that it started with Afghanistan, which, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest point to point to. The lawmaker eviscerated Biden over the multiple political pit traps the administration has dug itself into. Specifically, the lawmaker took aim at the White House over its handling Afghanistan, with the 13 US service members killed. But then all the serious crises that have come up, and now the fact that he can't even get a bill passed because his own team are being like, this is dumb, and we're not going to do it in the case of Manchin. And this has, of course, caused all the Dems to start finger-pointing at each other for it being your fault. No, it's your fault. Anyway, so if we go to The Hill, who have the same story, and in here they have some more detail of the squad or screeching as well. So they say in here, finger pointing consumed the Democratic Party on Monday, one day after Senator Joe Manchin announced he would vote no on President Biden's signature climate and social policy legislation, effectively derailing the president's domestic agenda heading into the critical election year. There's no shortage of Democrats piling on Manchin, whose ongoing concerns about the bill hung up in negotiations for the 50-50 in the Senate for months. So his one vote finally killing it. So, because it's finally over. Quote, I think that Senator Manchin did yesterday represent such an erroneous breach of trust in the president, said Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, butchered her name there, but who cares about crazy lady anyway. She then goes on to just moan about the fact that he had a month to complain about it and he never did, so now he's voted against it. He's betraying the president. It's interesting how the radical Dems, the squad, are all of a sudden, no, we're the power structures. And if you dare betray the power structure, we're going to be very mad about it. Right, radical my arse. Another leader of the Progressive Caucus, Representative Veronica Escobar, accused Manchin of abandoning suffering Americans and undermining Biden and the United States on the world stage after the president addressed a Scotland climate gathering summit and vowed action. Don't worry, foreigner here for you, the Yanks. No one takes those things seriously anyway. All the world leaders get together and go, yes, good job, chaps. Yes, very good job. We're going to do this. And then they don't. So, you know. No one cares. Anyway, Build Back Better is about addressing the unprecedented challenges we are facing right now. A climate catastrophe, working families struggling to make ends meet, rising inflation, and giving everyday Americans a shot at prosperity. You would have thought you're listing all the problems. And
you've listing the problems that this bill is contributing to. So inflation is the biggest problem facing the West, and it's certainly the biggest problem facing anybody, any families that are struggling to make ends meet. So inflation is rampant, it's out of control because the government keeps printing money. You can't look at Zimbabwe. You can't just print money.
And I'm here to remind people there is the currency, the United States dollar, piles of paper, and there is only one way you can inflate that currency: by printing more of the paper.
Yeah.
And that is the only place inflation comes from. Mm. And, well, who did that?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're in office. Your regime is the one doing all this. Mm. And you're like, well, we've got all these problems and we're trying to solve them. Why haven't you voted for it? But who made the problems? You look in the mirror for a minute. Anyway, so that's Escobar telling The Hill. So, again, just the changes in the economy are either government interference or changes in consumer habits. And we can do one thing about them, which is at least getting rid of the government interference, destroying everything. I mean, the inflation there being something that is only controlled by the government. And yet, well, they still buggered that up because they bugger everything up. Anyway, but while much of the party's frustration was aimed at Manchin, some Democrats on Capitol Hill voiced outrage with the White House for bungling the Build Back Better negotiations. For the better part of a year, White House officials struggled to manage a messy intra-party standoff between progressives and moderates over the timing and political tactics of how the Build Back Better bill and a separate infrastructure package would be passed. To break the stalemate, Biden promised progressives that if they cleared the way for the infrastructure bill, then Manchin's vote would be secured for the Build Back Better bill. How's that going? Well, it's gone, isn't it? Didn't work. So the progressives got squat, and the moderates, as he calls them, got their infrastructure bill, which didn't have a whole lot of infrastructure in it, but okay. While most of the Democratic Party is furious with Manchin, there is also negotiation that Democrats are trying to move things through the Senate. Given those facts, some of the party questioned the wisdom of the scathing attacks towards Manchin himself, considering that, well, the Senate's still going to be 50-50, and you're kind of turning him into a Republican by endlessly tack-fearing him from the Democrat race over here. And we have, of course, Jen Psaki also going after him. And we have a quote from one White House staffer who looked at this strategy of trying to turn one of their own senators into a red person. They've lost their effing minds. That was the quote. So all's going well. All's going very normal, which is that they have no idea how to even play domestic politics. Never mind just dealing with their own party and can't pass S. Anyway, so moving on. There's also Biden trying to recover this situation by making tweets like this, which is him trying to promote that the bill should be passed. Right now, there's a kid out there whose whole family can't afford their insulin because it costs $1,000 per month. The Build Back Better Act would cap their monthly insulin cost at $35. I've committed, as ever, to getting it done for them.
But, do you
remember when he came in and there were, like, a flood of executive orders from him? Do you even remember what some of them might have been? Might have been on getting rid of Trumps. And one of them being keeping the insulin prices down. I mean, there is no shame in this man. So we go to the next one. This is just an article listing that, yeah, so the Biden administration rescinds Trump's administration insulin pricing rule. Trump brought in a rule saying insulin prices need to be low because this is ridiculous. Yeah. Taking the piss. And it will be this price.
God, what an evil Nazi.
And Biden rescinded it personally. He was the person who did it.
And that's pure partisan politics.
Just Trump did it, therefore bad.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you can imagine Biden would have got a lot of donations from pharmaceutical companies.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who then want the insulin price to go back up to £1,000 a year because that's just money for them.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can look at Trump.
£1,000 a month.
And you can see that, obviously, he's got a personality, a vision, a political persuasion.
Well, he's got a personality.
You look at Biden and he's a man in a suit.
Yeah.
Like, what does he really have apart from that? Nothing. So the idea that he can't be brought so off. Anyway, they mentioned here some argument about why they couldn't do it. Right now, there's, one of the final healthcare actions made by the Trump administration was this, and it was rescinded. In the Federal Register notice rescinding the rule, the HHS noted that the rule would have resulted in, quote, excessive administrative costs and burdens on health centers. It would have cost more. Yeah, of course it would. Because you're selling it at a discount for precisely the point that people need it to live.
Mm.
But okay, that again, just but, I mean, no reason.
Insulin is, I mean, it's not a hugely expensive thing to produce. It's not under, what do you call it when it's, the 25-year, what's the word for it? Why can't I think? I've got brain fog from Omicron. Patent, yeah. It's not under patent.
So, you know, it's cheap everywhere else in the world, and in the United States it's a ridiculous price, so let's fix it. And Biden's the one who screwed it up, and then tweets about how he's trying to do this for the poor shtick out there who needs insulin. Cough, man. Anyway, so we go to the Manchin, because of course there's also the point of why is he doing this, and Nikki Haley made an example of why, and I think she's right. So who Manchin answers to? Well, the people who voted for him, who are all Trump, and the people he doesn't answer to, the squad, who are insane. And apparently in this constituency in 2020, 68.6% of the population voted for Trump to be president.
So wow.
He's looking at the election in 3 years for his Senate position.
Yeah.
And he's on 49% last time in 2018. He used to have 60 before then. So, yeah, I can imagine he's thinking about flipping or at least trying to be more palatable, let's say. So let's move on, because something else Biden decided to do that is causing fractures within his own party, which is he issued a death threat, which... stunning and brave, I guess. So this is the White House death threat saying, it's his statements on Omicron. We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the unvaccinated.
For the vaccinated.
So, yes, for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing and we'll get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
Jeez.
Man,
jeez.
Like, I thought we had a bit of a mental administration where they're talking about, you know, you need vaccine passports and all the rest of it. They're not threatening us with death, which he is. Because remember as well, we're talking about Omicron.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, having just had it, I had proper coronavirus in August. And I was unvaccinated. I'm not particularly anti-vax. I was just slightly worried it might make my dick fall off. So I just didn't get it. I was going to get it, but then I didn't get it. And coronavirus, first time around, was pretty horrible. Like, you know, it was like really, really savage flu. There's days when I was just like lying, sleeping, sweating. Horrible, feeling absolutely terrible. But Omicron, I mean, I guess I've got some immunity from having coronavirus before, but Omicron was, it was like a cold.
Don't you know you're going to die, though? Not from Omicron, but presumably by the Biden administration, apparently.
Yeah, well, because everyone dies, but not everyone lives.
They could die sooner. He gets the pillow out. Yeah. Anyway, but if we go to the next one on this, which is just the reporting on Omicron. Apparently, one death has now been discovered in the US from Omicron.
A whole death.
We had one in the UK. Presumably, Boris killed him himself. And now we have one other person who has died with Omicron. Don't know under what conditions he actually died, but he died with Omicron.
Yeah. And bear in mind, so the 40,000 people are recorded as having Omicron. So the numbers for Omicron are huge for infections. But I think, 80,000?
Something like that.
We're at 80,000 a day recorded. That's recorded. I mean, people like me, I wasn't recorded as having Omicron. I didn't bother because I didn't want it on my government list. But so if one person then gets hit by a bus, one of those, and if you got 80,000 people,
George Floyd died with coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean he didn't, but like if you got
he had coronavirus.
Oh, did he have coronavirus?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So his death could be recorded as a death with coronavirus.
Yeah, technically, if something happens to one person out of that 80,000, then that's recorded as dying with Omicron. Yeah,
but also,
you can die from lots of things.
Biden is very much promising the American people that you will die if you're unvaccinated.
Yeah.
How are you going to die? Apparently not from Omicron.
Yeah.
By the data, but some other means.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm calling it a death threat. It does kind of come off as one.
We promise you a winter of disease and death. I prefer Trump's. Trump used to say, "Happy Christmas, have a good holiday."
I mean, that's
not
a good
we
point.
Promise you a winter of disease and death.
What was the Biden campaign slogan? Disease and death, we promise you. Yes.
From the Old Testament.
Okay.
We're going to have a plague of frogs.
Yeah, but I mean, that's pretty irresponsible to say the least, or just stupid, or mad, or genocidal, or anything else. And so even his VP, Kamala Harris, is like, I'm not backing this. You talking about? So as you can see here, Harris contrasts with Biden, refuses to blame the unvaccinated for COVID waves. So even just refusing to blame them for it, never mind promising them death.
Yeah.
Another matter. Yeah. So they say it here, Kamala Harris has refused to blame the unvaccinated for the ongoing COVID pandemic, a notable different stance than from President Biden. Quote from her, "I don't think this is a moment to talk about fault," Harris said during an interview with CBS when pressed on the matter. "It is no one's fault that this virus hit our shores or hit the world. It is more about individual power and responsibility and the decisions everyone has to make." And then they say in here, "Biden has taken a less forgiving stance towards the unvaccinated Americans." So I'm just like, I mean, that's a polite way of putting it. Let's say a less forgiving stance, death. Anyway. Oh, boy. Let's move on, because I wanted to compare the Biden campaign slogan of "We promise you death" with the Donald Trump campaign, who has been at a particular conference, apparently in Texas, having fun. And I thought we'd play a clip, because we rarely get to hear from the God Emperor, and I thought we'd enjoy one, because, well, he's banned from everything these days, isn't he? So let's play what he had to say.
"But look, we did something that was historic. We saved tens of millions of lives worldwide. We, together, all of us, not me, we got a vaccine done, three vaccines done, and tremendous therapeutics like Regeneron and other things that have saved a lot of lives. We got a vaccine done in less than 9 months that was supposed to take from 5 to 12 years. Because of that vaccine, millions and millions of people. I think this would have been the Spanish flu of 1917, where up to 100 million people died. This was going to ravage the country far beyond what it is right now. Take credit for it. Take credit for it. What we've done is historic. Don't let them take it away. Don't take it away from ourselves. You're playing right into their hands when you sort of like, oh, the vaccine. If you don't want to take it, you shouldn't be forced to take it. No mandates, but take credit, because we saved tens of millions of lives. Take credit. Don't let them take that away from you."
Okay, so the president made news.
Do you agree with that? Right?
"Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?"
"Yes."
"I got it too." Okay, so...
Don't. That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
Isn't that interesting? So, people assume that Donald Trump is some sort of, raving, frothing, anti-vax conspiracy theorist, and he's actually got a very balanced view on it. And he's not pandering, he's not taking a populist view that's going to make him popular with, that element of his own fan base.
No.
So, yeah, respect Donald Trump.
He's concerned with the reality and what's the right thing to do, which is,
absolutely,
if you're at risk, go ahead, go and get it. If you don't want to, we're not going to force you.
Or if you're about to do a run of shows at the Edinburgh Fringe, get it before you go, because you'll get coronavirus, and then you'll have to pull shows and lose loads of money.
We'll save the other stuff for another time, because it is only tangentially related. But I can see, you know, just the difference there between the two campaigns. I mean, the promises of death and forced mandates versus the promises of take it if you want, take credit for it if you're a Trump supporter, and if you don't want to, I don't know, don't. Yeah.
We wish you a merry disease and a season of death. Man.
Just like, imagine getting a knock at the door, like, we're from the Biden campaign, pulls out a knife.
Vaccine or death. It's for your own good, apparently.
You know the cake or death skit from Eddie Izzard?
No.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. I'll show you that after. Right. But let's go to the video comments.
Cool.
Howdy again. I watched Joel's video recently on South Korea, and I just got to say, Josh and John did a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to y'all's videos on other countries. I also heard Harry mention the other day Yuri Bezmenov, and I was wondering if for a future project, y'all might dissect ideological subversion and give an example of it today. Keep up the great work, y'all.
I mean, I suppose, thanks. I wasn't involved in the false Korea Yankee colony episode, so I'll have to pass that along to them. As for Yuri Bezmenov and subversion, I mean, Carl did do a small series of videos on ideological subversion, so probably recommend that. We probably could do another one. I'm sure Harry would be interested.
Do you go crazy because you are woke? Or do you go woke because you are crazy? That's the question.
Do you go crazy because you're woke, or do you go woke because you're crazy?
I think you go woke because you follow what other people are doing, and you want it to be as... that's what I've noticed, especially young people. So my friend Rebecca, like a few months ago, was around at her place, and her flatmate is so woke. And her flatmate was like, just asking me, like arguing with me about the police. The flatmate genuinely thought that all the police should be, like, just not be there. I was like, well, that's not going to work in reality, because there's criminals and stuff out there, like real ones. And Rebecca was getting all anxious. You can see the anxiety, and she's like, oh, no, he's joking. And they can't deal with any but these people genuinely think that there shouldn't be any police. Even though if there weren't any police, I'd be hunting them for food. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Can you imagine actually believing there aren't any real criminals? I mean, that's what she's got to believe.
She thinks there are real criminals, but the real criminals are the police and white people.
What, so if a white burglar turns up, then we need police? We don't need police? I mean, what goes on?
I said, what about, because, you know, when I worked with the police, I was working in Haringey, so obviously I was working alongside lots of black police officers. And so I was like, well, what about black police? And she was like, you know, because obviously that's, you know, then she's being, is she being right. racist?
So we can have the police, but only if they're black. So we'll have a segregated black police force, and they're the only ones allowed to do that dangerous job. That's right, I'm an anti-racist. Okay. Yeah. So I can see John writing down thought experiment. There is no police now. Then punch them immediately. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next video.
So to all my biggest boys and girls out there, do your due diligence, do your tasks, do your homework, your job, and most important of all, do your duties. Oh, and also, based Christmas and f*** the commies.
I appreciate the effort there. Boat guy. I don't really know which one we're calling you now, because the Norwegian chef has been claimed by two people. So he works on a cruise, chefing.
Oh, right.
So I love the idea of you going around on the cruise as well. If you're working on Christmas, just hand out some presents to like the kiddos or something, because I'm sure they'll appreciate it, if nothing else. Anyway, thanks.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. I know you guys like seeing people make things, so I thought I'd share this interesting project with you. Whoa. I'm making a reproduction steam fitting for a friend's boiler. This will be used in the restoration of his grandfather's steam tractor. I started with a copy of the original factory drawing, dated 1908. Then I made 3D models of the parts using a computer-aided design software. And from those models, I made casting patterns, accounting for the appropriate draft and shrinkage. A friend 3D printed the patterns, which were then sent to an iron foundry. The foundry poured all the castings in ductile iron, and now all that's left is for me to machine the parts. I'm hoping to do the machining over the Christmas holiday, so I'll try to capture that action and send it in if you're interested in seeing it.
That is mental.
That is awesome. Please
do. That's so cool.
I've got nothing to say on that, really.
Yeah.
Other than I wish I could do stuff like that.
And it's mad seeing how, like, harnessing, like, very latest technology to sort of produce something from over 100 years ago.
Yeah. I did see a documentary recently on the First World War tanks, and there was some company who had to recreate a World War One tank. So they just thought, well, we could just make one, right?
Yeah.
And then they realized, well, not really. Like, half the stuff's missing. None of the designs are around. What are you going to do? So they had to like re-engineer the World War One tank.
No way.
Just so they could then rebuild it. And they did. And it did work.
Right. You'd think you'd just get like a Nissan Micra and put a World War tank like fiberglass body shell on it.
Yeah, no, well, the whole thing was about the tank itself.
So, oh, right, right.
But if you were going to cheat, that would be the way to do it. But yeah, I love watching old stuff be remade because it's tragic as well when you start to realize knowledge really does get deleted.
Yeah.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like my dad, you know, he's old and stuff and he's got cancer and he's going to die soon. And all the stuff he knows about wildfowling and all that, he was a gunsmith. He had a gun that's so big. It's actually
banned
illegal.
Banned in America, I believe.
Banned in America, yeah, yeah. But that, you know, that technique of hunting, you know, going out in the punt, going out with the tide, you know, all the knowledge around, you know, the tide tables and then, you know, shooting all the birds and getting a dog to gather them in and bring them back and sell them at market, that's dying with him because I don't know how to do it.
That's, you know,
if I want a duck, I'll just go to the shops and buy a duck and somebody's already pulled the feathers off it.
But it is scary. Like, I can see the Adeptus Mechanicus point.
Well, yeah, and like if civilization collapses, because there's only a certain amount of oil and internet left, like if civilization collapses, then we're going to need to go back to, you know, hunting food and stuff like that, and nobody's going to be able to do it.
Let's go to the next video comment.
Another record day of COVID cases. The Premier, though, has ruled out a return to restrictions.
Every day we're monitoring the situation, but this is all about taking personal responsibility. The government can't do everything. It's over to the people of our state.
Interview this man, or at the very least, do a segment on your show about his policies, or I am going to subject you to years and years and years of cscooper.com.au.
To be honest, that's not really a threat, Cooper, because you've done it so much.
that's quite a threatening camera angle. That's like you've just woken up and he's in your bedroom.
Yeah, we probably will. We'll get around to it. I don't know about an interview. I don't know what his staffers are like, but we did get a message from someone who works in Eric Zemmour's party, which hopefully is cool. We'll be able to get a chat with him, which would be interesting. But I'll take it on board. cscooper.com.au. Let's go to the next one.
My name. What is my name? Who I was before no longer holds significance. I am reborn. I am Malos Frykan, servant of the Dark Gods.
What is that?
Mankind languishes in a
That was awful. No thanks. I don't want that ever again. No. Move to the next one.
Tony Day and Little Joan with an update on New Jersey politics. Our tyrant Governor Phil Murphy made a new rule at the State House saying that you can only get in if you have a clean COVID test or proof that you were vaccinated. This wrangled some of the GOP. A few weeks ago, they tried to come in and vote, but the state troopers tried to stop them. Much to their credit, they got inside and voted anyway. This time, they locked the doors ahead of time, and yesterday, they couldn't get inside the State House. They instead had to go back and vote via Zoom. This is tyranny.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on with the legality there.
But when they say test, I mean, is that just taking a lateral flow to show that you don't have COVID? I mean, I don't really have a problem with taking a lateral flow. Doing like GB News and stuff, you have to do a lateral flow when you go into the studio, but you're working in close proximity with loads of people. So it makes sense to make sure people, you know, to minimize the spread of COVID. I mean, it's not an imposition on your, there's nothing logged on a database. It's literally just sticking a thing up your nose and then dabbing it in some
water. Always going to be naturally exemptions, like people who can't have that done because of medical reasons, so on and so forth. So I don't know what the position is. So you've got to at least have exemptions for especially voting on a political matter because these are representatives. Like you can't just block them out. But anyway, they could go back on Zoom, I suppose, if you're accepting that. But the legality part I find strange with the troopers trying to stop them and then they did get in. Because I wonder, was them trying to stop them illegal? And I'd love to see if they challenge on.
Yeah. And voting and stuff should be kept as much in real life as possible. And we saw in Russia, they're openly, blatantly exploiting electronic voting booths and online voting to corrupt the results.
Yeah. Also just in physical as well.
Yeah.
With Russia, there's just, oh, look, loads of ballots. Also, all of these ones are in the fire. Okay.
But it could never happen in the US.
Yeah. Did I show you, there was some, when the Belarusian elections happened, there were some people who found a bunch of polling cards, like, in a furnace being burnt, and they stormed the polling place. And then the polling, like, Twitter account had tweeted out at the same time, we make sure that all of our polling cards are recycled. And it was just like... Anyway, let's go to the next one.
I apologize for the poor quality of this video comment. I was recently diagnosed with COVID, and I can't get myself out of bed. I just wanted to say that you can, in fact, pre-order your tombstone. You can either get a plot of land in the graveyard, or you can do what my aunt and uncle did and put your tombstone in the backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. You could add that onto the White House press statement. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The unvaccinated frontier of disease and death.
Season of disease and death, and you can order your tombstone here.
Mytombstone.com. Discount code Biden. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
There has been an NPC update. Over the last few days, there have been several articles publicly branding themselves over the possibility of mass violent revolt among the military and general citizens. This is stuff you do not talk about, lest you put ideas in the other side's head. That they are talking about this publicly means the enemy must be truly terrified.
I'd have to see the examples. I would note, I'm convinced to some extent of that, because I followed a little while, we've done a lot of episodes on it, on wokeness in the British Army.
Yeah.
So materials and whatnot. Air Force being the worst, with you had to learn, what was it, like 12 new pronouns by the next day for total inclusivity.
What?
And it wasn't just he, she, her. It got to like z and stuff like that.
But why would any of that matter? You're like in the Air Force.
All of the officers.
Do you think the Russian army, who like we could be fighting next, or the Chinese army?
Yeah.
Do you think they we're going to lose wasting time?
So there was that stuff. We saw the stuff out of the army. We got some stuff from the Navy, and I was kind of very depressed about it. But we didn't really see it in the United States.
Right.
And increasingly we are seeing it. There was a leak the other day, which I'll have to send as well. There was a redesign for the Air Force, for the diversity department, and both versions look hideous.
Right.
And it was leaked as like, my buddy's got to pick which one of these to accept. And it's just like, burn them both.
Right.
Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys, it's been a while. Been a little busy. Just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas. In a few short months, I'll hit the 1-year anniversary of my gold tier support of the Lotus Eaters. No regrets, and I hope you keep it up. By the way, we do have crackers in the United States. Yet those ones, but also the Christmas ones. I grew up with those.
Oh, okay, I got told the Americans didn't have them. And like, I was spoken to a couple and they were like, what's that? And I'm like, it's a cracker, you dick.
Do you get toys in them in America? Do you want to pull one?
We got more. For you. Yeah. Oh, I lost.
I won.
What'd you get?
Let's see what the toy is.
I think we got more. I don't know what we did with the rest.
Let's see if these are...
Did you get a joke?
There's no toy!
What?
Oh my god!
We paid like, what was it? Like £4 for this or something?
£4. Let everybody know that the Lotus Eaters buy cheap crackers. There's two jokes. There's this.
The rest of the set. Anyway.
Talent. There's like, I think this is the toy. It's a card that says turkey on one side and talent on the other. Like, if you can have fun with that, you've got a better imagination than me.
One.
Talent. Oh, there is a. Okay. All right. You won this one.
Let's get a little. There are no toys. Are you kidding me?
Well, this, it's got like, so the talent or turkey thing, it's got like instructions. So it's like a little game, but it's rubbish.
Yeah, I got the same thing. That's not fun.
Yeah.
You meant to get like...
What are the things to do on your talent or turkey thing?
I don't know.
It's the same things.
It's the same crap.
It's the same thing.
There you are.
Where are these from?
Don't buy crap.
Where did you get them?
Stupid crackers from the Christmas store in Swindon.
Is it from the Christmas store in Swindon?
Shopping
You went
advice.
To the actual Christmas store?
Well, we went all the other Christmas stuff.
This is like a worse Christmas than like the White House are telling us we're going to have.
Well, your Christmas ruined?
Death and disease would be a welcome reprieve from these crackers.
Nah, we're not doing the jokes. Screw the jokes. They're always crap anyway. Yeah. Let's go to the next video.
Hold up.
It's probably the same.
Jen Psaki, Biden's press secretary, is deriding someone else for not lowering insulin prices when Biden's the one who reversed Trump's order to lower insulin prices. Also, come by the charity stream, twitch.tv/DenzielJones. It should be live right now, and we'll be continuing for the next 20 hours. We're fundraising to prevent young suicide, so come on.
Alrighty, well there you are. Go check it out if you want to see the charity stream, which is twitch.tv/Denzel_Jones.
And also, if you are young, don't kill yourself.
That's also good.
Life gets better. I'm old as shit now. I'm old. Sorry, didn't mean to swear. And no suicidal.
Always gets better. Anyway, even that, I mean, you know, at least make some money first and then spend it and have a good time.
Oh, yeah. You only get one shot. Yeah. Just make some money, go to Thailand, have fun.
Let's go to the next one.
A thought on the vaccine versus side effects risk assessment. There are risks associated with both virus and vaccine. Perhaps more an inquiry for the medically minded members of the community. But does each consecutive dose of the vaccine also give you an equal resistance to the side effects? If not, then at the height of recommendation being one dose per 6 months, you're asking me to take upwards of 100 to 120 doses before I die. You've increased the chances of side effects by two orders of magnitude.
Already?
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I think coronavirus is now moving to, like, because Omicron is something that's incredibly contagious, but not very dangerous because it nestles in your throat rather than in your lungs. So I think coronavirus from now on is going to be like a sort of seasonal illness that's not that bad for you.
Mm. You see what Vladimir Putin called it?
What did he call it?
A live vaccine?
It's nature's vaccine. It's a vaccination from God. From God himself.
All the scientists failed us. Should have been praying to God the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, if I get through this and I haven't actually had the vaccine, I'll just be laughing. I'm not even anti-vax. No. I just couldn't be bothered. I'm just lazy and disorganized.
I love it. There was an article for the BBC that was just like, who are the 6 million refuseniks in the UK? Which, I mean, ominous number. But yeah. Them like making out that everyone was just, you know, anti-vax insane people who are like, there is no virus whatsoever and all this. And No, a lot of people just, can't bother.
Yeah.
Make me.
Yeah.
Which, you're not going to. Otherwise, revolution, so.
And I think it's good to have, like, you know, just a small portion of the population, just in case it does make your dick fall off, just a small portion of the population who haven't had it, so they're the ones that can, you know, rebuild. Anyway. Just in case.
I can see the chat saying do the joke. Well, not. They're awful.
I'll do the joke.
You want to do them? The comedian can do them.
But bear in mind, this is not my material. This is material that's been written for me.
Just for people who don't know what crackers are. So the jokes they come with are meant to be purposely awful.
And he's talking about Christmas crackers, not white people.
Yeah, so that everyone is against the joke rather than against the person telling it.
Yeah. So what do Santa's little helpers learn at school? The alphabet. Bear in mind, I was the UK pun champion 2015.
I hate these. I'm sorry.
Why do eggs avoid telling jokes? They crack each other up.
I hope you're happy, chap.
Well, there's more. These are your ones. How do snowmen get around? By icicle. Sounds a bit like bicycle. Why did the golfer have an extra pair of trousers on? In case he got a hole in one.
That's not bad. All right, yeah. That's the best one of the lot there.
Yeah.
I feel like we should go and buy better crackers now because we were hoping to like crack them on Christmas Eve when we were doing a stream.
I was hoping to get three little screwdrivers.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the one you can get that's useful as well, which is like some new nail clippers.
Nail clippers, also the little wrench.
Yeah.
Because for very fine, if you're a watchmaker or you work on laptops or something like that, the only source of those little screwdrivers is Christmas crackers.
You'd just have to buy in bulk and crack them all.
Yeah, totally. And then you've got a set of dice and you've got the tumbling jacks and stuff. But then eventually you get the three screwdrivers.
There's also the awful one, which is just a puzzle, but that's better than what?
Yeah. Oh, like a cardboard puzzle.
Yeah. It's like nine six pieces.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
God. Anyway.
I got advent calendars from Marks and Spencer's. And got them home, and me and my girlfriend, fiance, opened them, and it's the same chocolate behind each door, and it tastes like Caramac, but it's there's just no fun because you know what's behind the next door. It's not even a different shape, you know, so it just wasn't fun.
Did you just open them all and go fuck it?
No, but we got to day number two, and we realized this is the same as yesterday. So I went back to Marks and Spencer's and I was like, look, these, and also I pretended I had children and they hated them because I couldn't just be like
they were crying.
Me and my adult partner. But yeah, and Marks and Spencer's refused to refund me because I'd lost the receipt.
Well, that's Christmas ruined. What are you going to tell the kids now?
I'm going to tell them they're going to get disease and death. Like
Joe Biden promised.
Like Joe Biden promised.
Oh, man. I'm actually annoyed about that. We are actually going to have to... Yeah. Anyway.
That is a terrible cracker.
So let's go to the written comments on the site. We've got a couple of minutes left, so we'll do some of these. So cool. Paulie P says, there was once a woman called Brenda. She looked like a bloke, but was transgender. She used to be called Bob. She still had her knob. and was in a prison as a sexual offender. See, now that's gold. That should be on a Christmas cracker. I want to buy those Christmas crackers. Omar Awad says, ah, another loophole opportunity. Naughty limericks. Legal. Retweeting or sharing, said Limerick, absolutely haram. Seriously, the whole premise was ridiculous, the face of it, and never should have escalated beyond mild disapproval. Yes. Or just mild chuckles as well. Yeah. Student of History says, I'm happy to hear your artistic soul has now been freed from the bonds of tyranny of the state, Callum. May your heart soar to its highest heights, and in the great release that is this legalization of poetry in these times of despotism, lest the state come for more power and replace you unto the irons for your own mind. I'm not writing any poems. I don't even like poems. I just want them to be legal. I mean, it's like that, you know, the Christian types who are like, I don't like heroin, or not heroin, weed.
Yeah.
But it should be legal.
Yeah.
That types. I mean, like Penn from Penn Teller. Actually, no, I think it's Teller. He's never touched alcohol, hasn't touched weed, but he's like, no, just go for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, on your section, so questions for you. The woke gods of sport. So Jimbo G says, when Emma Raducanu won the tennis a few months ago, I heard someone in the pub saying, take that, you Brexiter nonces. When you...
Ironically, somebody who's a nonce would probably still be attracted to a 19-year-old girl.
Well, they wouldn't be, would they, by definition?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think nonces have got a hard cutoff line.
I think they do.
Do they?
Do you remember watching...
You know far too much about what nonces
are attracted
to. Well,
no, I'm thinking about that episode of, what was it? It's not the 9 o'clock news, the other one that's like comedic.
The MASH report.
Brass Eye, there we are. You know when they did the nonce episode, have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's hilarious.
And they get it's obviously all staged in a joke, but they get a nonce on, and he's like, yeah, you want to have sex with my son, don't you? And the nonce is like, well, he's not my type. It's just like, whatever, hell with the with you. Anyway, go watch Brass Eye. Brass Eye, great.
Very funny.
But also the idea that Brexiteers would be mad that she won. He says, when your first thought after she won was, she's Asian, maybe it's you who is the racist. Yeah, I don't even know what she defines herself as. Yeah, that's a whole other question. Freewill2112 says, of course, being a celebrity does not mean you have a broader education about history and of culture in the world. And when these semi-educated people start spouting the latest fashionable talking points, they often find their ignorance leading them to make hypocritical statements. I mean, sure, we could actually reverse your point and say, well, of course all the sportsmen are saying dumb nonsense. They're meant to be driving cars or whatever. I mean, that's also a way of looking at it. And then we'll just finish on a short one on the last segment. Biden has the King Exorabus touch. I don't know the name. Everything he touches turns to feces. I mean, kind of. But I mean, it's also everything everyone else around him touches as well.
Yeah,
but I'm glad that some people are starting to turn on him from the inside and is in a circle, at least. It shows you how bad he's done.
Well, his only electoral strength was I'm not Trump, which made him very popular with, you know,
people who hate Trump.
Yeah, people who hate Trump. And now that, you know, he's still not Trump, you know, that's less of a strength when Trump isn't president anymore.
But also Trump's looking better and better.
Trump's looking, yeah.
He doesn't have any of the accountability anymore, so you can't say, oh, he's messed that up.
And people are seeing that, you know, actually some of the stuff he passed was good. Like, he had that law that, the insulin thing, the law that said that if you wanted to bring in a new piece of legislation, you had to get rid of 7 pieces of legislation. And also, Biden is continuing all the things that Trump got criticized for. So, you know, the border security. I mean, I know he let a huge number of immigrants in for a while, but, you know, now he's had to clamp down on it. So, you know, they're still putting separating children from their parents and putting them in detainment camps and stuff. So, Biden's not been this hallowed savior.
He's looking more of the turd. So yeah, he seems to be. Anyway, so we'll end that there because we're out of time. And if you want more from us, go to lotusears.com. Of course, subscribe to get access to all the premium content and fund the show. That's how we do it. Where do they find you?
So you can find me on YouTube. My name is Leo Kearse. I put videos up every week. And also, I'm on Twitter and all the rest of it. But yeah, YouTube, I've got a YouTube channel.
By the way, I should congratulate you for the debate you had with Miss Smurthwaite.
Yeah, yeah, I saw you went through it on Lotus Eaters. Yeah.
It is weird. I saw some comments. Like, I do actually remember her from sort of my childhood because there used to be Bearing taking the mickey out of her in like old YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And now, you know, she's still around. But,
yeah. She never, I mean, she said on the, you can watch the debate. She's like a real strident feminist, and I debated her on GB News. You can watch the debate on my channel. But yeah, she says she hears racist jokes on stage at gigs she does every month. And that is just nonsense because...
Who's gigging with you?
Number one, I looked at her gig list. She's got no gigs in the diary.
Okay.
So I don't know what gigs she only does like super woke gigs. you know, super feminist sort of government sponsored all women gigs. So she's not going to be on the bill with any racists. If anybody's going to be on a bill with racists, it's me, because apparently I'm the most right wing evil comedian, and I never hear any racist jokes. So yeah, I think it's all a nonsense.
I'd also love to ask her how many times, or at least when was the last time you went to a women's football game? Gonna be zero, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll end that there, because you can go and enjoy the debate, as he says, on your channel. So thank you and goodbye.
Bye.